Good morning. That is the sound that we hear usually between the hours of midnight and 3 a.m. So if you think you don't like it, we rode the struggle bus here this morning and we're doing our best. That's what this is. How's everything up there? Can people hear us on Zoom? We all good? Good. You all could hear us. Nobody on Zoom could for a little while, so we're finally all here for worship now. So I think we've got to figure it out just in time to wrap things up. The sermon text today is Luke chapter 5. This is the story of the miraculous catch of fish. It's a moment that we turn to as a moment of calling, right? It's at the beginning of the story. This is when Peter still has very few expectations for who Jesus is. I mean, who the Messiah is, yes. Who Jesus is, not so much. It's a moment when ordinary fishermen encounter the extraordinary power of Jesus. Simon Peter and his companions have spent the night fishing with nothing to show for it. They're weary, they're discouraged, they're ready to pack up. And then Jesus steps into Peter's boat, teaches the crowd, gives a great lesson, and an unexpected command: go back out and let down the nets. But this is more than a miraculous abundance of fish. This tells us something, or reveals something of who Jesus is. It's a calling that changes Peter's life forever. And I think if we hear this passage with fresh ears, we can consider what it means for God's kingdom to call ordinary people like Peter, like us, into something extraordinary. The word of the Lord from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and a crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little way from the shore. He sat down in the boat and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away. Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Pause for narrator's commentary. A simple thank you would have sufficed. He needs these fish not to eat, but to make a living, right? This is his business. This is his livelihood. And you would think someone like Peter might want to keep a lucky charm like Jesus around every time he goes fishing. And he sends him away. He wants him to leave. Because he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Fishermen by trade. Peter and his friends, they know the waters, they know the Sea of Galilee, they know the rhythms of fishing. You fish at night because fish like colder water. They tend to hide from the sunlight and stay in colder water during the day, so you don't go fishing during the daytime. Maybe early morning, maybe late early evening, but not during the day. So they caught nothing when the fish were out. They're certainly going to catch nothing when the sun is out. But despite their experience, their knowledge, their effort, they catch nothing, and yet they still trust and put their nets back down. These empty nets of theirs, it's not just a failure of skill. I think it represents a deeper frustration of working hard and seeing no results. I'm not going to make you raise your hands because I don't think any of us want to be any more depressed. I imagine everyone in this room, even the children, probably especially the children, understand what it means to try your best and it not be enough. That's the story. This is not just the story of the miraculous catch of fish. This is the story of trying your best and it wasn't enough. That makes this probably one of the most relatable stories in all the Gospels. This deeper frustration of working hard and seeing no results. It's not what you were promised, was it? I don't know who promised it, but at some point we all heard the same promise, didn't we? Work hard and you can get the things that you like, the things that you want. It's yours for the grabbing, just got to work harder. But then Jesus arrives. He steps into Peter's boat, teaches the crowd, gives Peter an unexpected command. Put your nets back down. Put out into the deep water, let down the nets for a catch. It's a request that sounded unreasonable. If it didn't work last night, it's not going to work right now. Peter knows how fishing works, and this is not the time to catch fish. And I don't know why he does it. Maybe Peter puts the nets down just to prove a point, because he's more confident that nothing's going to come up, that he wants to show this guy that he did really do everything he was supposed to do and nothing worked. I think Peter putting his nets down is probably the equivalent of you trying to troubleshoot your computer. You've done everything. You've turned it off and back on again. You've checked for updates. You've tried clearing the cache. You've tried reinstalling things. You've done all the things that you're supposed to do. You've checked YouTube. You've done everything you can to fix this computer. You finally crack and you call IT and they say, have you turned it off and back on again? Mm-hmm. This is the first thing I tried. And they said, well, why don't you go ahead and do it again? And they won't tell you anything else until you get past this firewall, right? You've got to turn it off and back on again while they're on the phone with you. You turn it off and back on again, and then your computer works. That is this story. Okay, this is the turning it off and back on again story. This is Peter did everything right, nothing worked, and now Jesus says, put the nets back down. He knows that that's not going to work. He has flipped the USB cable 6 times. It doesn't work any direction. It's not going to work. But there's something about Jesus that compels him to do it. It might be stubbornness. I don't know what it is, but he still does it. The important thing is he does it. And the nets, they work. They don't just work. The computer has never worked this well before. The nets catch beyond their capacity. In fact, the computer is working so well, it's turning into something different, something new. It's starting to break. The boats nearly sink. They can't handle how amazing the computer is working now. Peter's response when he sees this, it's telling. He's not joyful. He does not rejoice over all the fish. He falls to his knees and begs Jesus to leave. Please go away. I am a sinful man. Get out of my boat. Which is ironic, isn't it? Because the next time that Peter's in a boat with Jesus or not with Jesus, Jesus is walking on the water. And so Peter wants to leave the boat. It's supposed to make you laugh. This is supposed to be humorous, this getting in and out of the boat thing between Jesus and Peter. It's a bit of a gag. But this miracle, it exposes something deeper than skill or effort. It's revealed that Peter really is just inadequate. That's what Peter has learned. That doesn't matter if he does it all right. It's not enough. He's come face to face personally with someone who has shown him just how much he isn't good enough. So of course he doesn't say thank you. Of course he's not rejoicing. Of course he's not glad or grateful. It reveals his inadequacy before the very power of God. If you think it's humbling to have the IT guy fix your computer when you couldn't, imagine having God show up and your job and fix your job for you. He realizes in the presence of someone far greater than he imagined that he just doesn't cut it. It's no different than Isaiah. Like Isaiah, before the throne of God, back in chapter 6, Peter is just overwhelmed by his own unworthiness in the face of such divine perfection. And Jesus' presence, it changes everything for Peter. And his experience, I think, resonates with so many of us. He works tirelessly, all night, sees no results. I imagine you often feel that same way. We pour ourselves into our jobs, our families, our ministries, our things, our hobbies, all of it. And yet there are just these moments when our efforts just feel fruitless. Or even if they're productive, not enough. We do everything we know to do, the nets just come up empty. And beyond the frustration, there's that deeper fear of inadequacy. So when Peter sees the power of Jesus, his first response, of course, is to push him away. Get away from me, I am a sinful man. And how many people today feel unworthy of God's presence or his calling? Most of us, I think, do. Most of us struggle with the belief that we are too flawed, too ordinary, too sinful to be used by God. We see our shortcomings more clearly than we can see any potential. And everyone around us, the whole world, teaches us that success is earned through this hard work, through skill, through expertise. If you get enough degrees, if you get enough job experience, if your CV is long enough, if you can just work for the right person, if you can know the right recommenders, if you can just fill in the blank. And if we fail, that must mean that we're just not good enough. That's clearly the only option for failure, is just you weren't enough. On our good days, we know that's not true. On our average days, that's the lie we buy. And yet this kingdom of God works differently. Jesus steps into Peter's ordinary boat, into his ordinary everyday struggles, and calls him to something bigger. And Peter, like so many of us, hesitates. He sees his own limits rather than God's possibilities. His limits, his limitations are reality. God's possibilities are just fiction. How often do we resist God's calling because we believe we're just not good enough or the circumstances wouldn't allow it? How many times do we hesitate to trust Jesus when he asks us to step into deeper waters? The challenge is clear, I think. We will let our sense of inadequacy keep us from following Christ. He could use somebody with more experience than me. Clearly there's somebody better than I am at this fill in the blank, whatever it is. So Peter's confession, this get away from me, I am a sinful man, those are our words. And yet Jesus doesn't accept his resignation letter. Peter's confession is not met with rejection, but with an invitation. Jesus does not respond with condemnation or affirming Peter's unworthiness. Instead, he says, just don't be afraid this time, Peter. From now on, if you thought this was impressive, let's go catch some people. And Jesus meets Peter's fear in that moment. He meets his self-doubt with a surprising amount of grace and a new calling, a different purpose. The miracle of the abundant catch is more than just a demonstration of power. This is a sign of God's kingdom. Peter and his friends, they labored all night with nothing to show for it. But when Jesus steps in, the results go beyond anything they could have imagined. This is the nature of God's work. It is not dependent on human effort alone, but on God's divine abundance. Jesus takes these empty nets and he fills them. He takes ordinary fishermen and commissions them for an extraordinary mission. This moment mirrors Isaiah's calling in chapter 6 of Isaiah. It's It's Isaiah, like Peter, they are both overwhelmed by this unworthiness when confronted with God's holiness, but instead of being cast aside, Isaiah is cleansed and sent. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Your resume was never going to be enough for the kind of things that God has in store for you. The system tells you you need to have experience before you can do the job, but God calls us to a job and then gives us the experience. Which for all of you, that seems like the myth. That's the dream. That's the gig, right? Whenever you apply for a job and you're at the age of, let's throw out a number, 40, and the job requires you to be 30 with 50 years of experience, God has called Peter, called Isaiah, to do something that they're not qualified for, and says, don't worry about the details, we'll qualify you on the way. Peter's life is forever changed by this moment. The same hands that once hauled in fish are soon going to bring people into the kingdom of God itself. Jesus calls Peter to leave behind the way that he thinks, the way that he knows, the things that he knows, to leave behind not just a boat, but an understanding of how the world works, and to step into something greater. One of the things Peter leaves behind in the boat is his own sense of inadequacy. He leaves that behind too. It's not just a net. The grace of this moment is clear. God's kingdom is just not built on human perfection, because if it was, the thing would never get built. The kingdom of God is built on the power of God working through ordinary people who just happen to be willing to try and do something beyond themselves. And just as Jesus calls Peter from fishing to discipleship, Jesus continues to call people today to extraordinary purposes. God's kingdom is not built by the most qualified, the most talented, or the most perfect. It's built by those who are just willing to show up, to trust in the abundance of Christ, and to take a step, not a leap. There's no leap of faith required here. We'll settle for just a tiny little baby step of faith. That's it. And I know we feel most days like Peter, unworthy, inadequate, unsure of how God could use someone like me. But the words of Jesus to Peter are his words to us. It's time to stop being afraid. Don't be afraid. This call to follow Jesus is not about our qualifications. It's about our willingness to trust him. He takes what we have, our time, our abilities, our weaknesses, and uses them for his glory. It's fine if all you have to offer is 2 fish and 5 loaves. We can work with that. It's fine if all you have to offer is just some perfume that your grandmother passed down to you. We can work with that. So many of these stories in the Gospels are people bringing to Jesus very little. And not just the Gospels. Go back to Elijah. Elijah asked for food. And this woman says, food? My son and I were going to try to eat these sticks and hope that it was enough to kill us. And Elijah says, no, we can do more than that. Just give me the jar. Moses says to God, to God's own actual face, face to face, Moses says, you've got the wrong guy here. I'm not capable of this. And God says, I'm the one who gave you the mouth I'm asking you to use. Can you just use it? It doesn't matter how little you have to offer. It has always been enough. It could mean sharing what you believe in with a friend who has no hope. It could mean serving in a ministry here in this church that you don't think you are qualified for, that stretches you, that pushes you. It could mean trusting God with a calling that seems beyond your ability. Whatever it is, you're not left to do it alone. Peter took his friends. You take your friends too. And the same Jesus who filled Peter's nets provides for us with our own nets. We just have to stop being afraid long enough to follow him. And just as Peter is called to fish for people, we too are sent into the world. We are called to share good news, to invite others into the abundance of these full nets, to trust that God can do more than anything we could ask or imagine. That we are so creatively challenged. We are so creatively limited. Our imagination functions on liminality, to be specific. And what I mean is, no matter how big you think you can dream, it's a fraction of what God wants to do in this world. The question has never been whether we are worthy. The question has always been whether we're willing. And as we come to this table, we're reminded that the same Jesus who called Peter calls us. Just as Peter was invited to leave behind his old life to step into something new, we too are invited into an abundance of grace in God's kingdom. Peter's nets were empty until Jesus filled them. In the same way, our lives were empty until Christ filled them. Except our lives weren't filled with fish. They were filled with his blood, his body, broken, poured out. We were filled not by our own efforts, but by his grace. The meal is a reminder that we don't come to Jesus because we're worthy. We come because he has made a way for us. It's at this table that we remember that Christ's sacrifice is for all of us. All of us ordinary people, us broken people, us very unworthy people. Yet he welcomes us just as he welcomed Peter. He feeds us just as he filled those nets. He sends us just as he sent Peter to share the love of God with the world. So come to this table today, not because you're perfect, but because Christ is. Come to this table, not because you've earned a place or deserve it, but because it's been prepared for you anyway. Come, receive the grace of our Lord at this table. Let's stand and sing.